they end up getting engaged. And she was like, look, I'm in this awful real estate deal. I just did this thing. Now, like, it's kind of like a trauma bond because she's in here and she's hoping that, like, I did the ultimate thing. I was raped for him.
Yeah.
And maybe he'll love me now.
And she says, as soon as the engagement goes through, this is when everything changes. Hi, Julian Bezzavalli.
Hello, Patrick Hines.
Girl, it's here. This has been a banger of a month for new documentaries on Netflix.
I mean, yes, this is a toxic love story.
Yeah.
We're here, we're queer. We're talking about it. Get used to it.
We're here, we're queer. Some of us are Disney adults. That's going to play part of it.
Every last person in this, except for me and DOJ Jason.
Some of us have been to Lilith Fair. That's going to play a part in this.
Yeah, but also, I am doing an after party on this, clarifying some of the timeline, fleshing out some of the stories, some of the things that Netflix left out that I know people are really trying to piece this together. Some of this we'll never know.
Yes.
But I did my best to kind of lay it out for you.
That after party is available right now at the $7 tier on the Patreon. Link in the show notes. Shall we jump in?
Please.
You might remember this story with a twisted plot.
The strange and violent stalking case.
A jealous wife, romantic rivals, blackmail.
I wish everyone would just tell the truth. Ian always wanted to be married and he wanted to have kids. Angela wanted the same things.
The smile alone, I mean, the smile was killer. She was just a sweetheart.
2-3 weeks go by, I propose to her.
But then Ian tells me that Angela's been receiving these emails from someone called Lilith Is Truth.
Crazy, threatening, violent, I'm gonna kill you emails.
They have this biblical undertone. We were thinking the exact same thing. Holy it's his ex, Michelle.
We're in Anaheim, California, just outside of Los Angeles. Just happens to be where Disneyland is. We'll get more into that later.
Yeah, by design.
We meet Leslie. We'll definitely get more into her later. She is Ian's best friend. Ian is our one of our protagonists here.
Well, Leslie has two wishes.
She has two.
One.
She wants, one, that none of this ever happened, and two, that everyone would just tell the truth about the events of the story. That's interesting coming from Leslie.
Me too, Leslie.
Me too, Leslie.
It's like the one thing I agree with her about.
I know.
So, 2016, Leslie and Ian have been friends for 20 years.
She's not in love with him, Joanne. She's not in love. Don't.
She's not.
She's not.
Don't even say it. But
don't
like,
even.
Definitely ask her.
Do
she
ask her.
She loves that everyone's like confused about it. Like, aren't you guys together? No.
Definitely not in love with him.
They have been friends for 20 years. They work together at Disneyland.
His mom had moved to another state, so I became his means of support.
So I became his means of support. You guys are like 30.
When I thought only of you in that moment. Like, the only of you in that moment. Like, because here's my thing. Like, what did he do for you, Leslie? It's one thing to, like, be a maternal. If you're just, like, a maternal person, then wonderful.
Yeah, like, this doesn't sound like a friendship to me.
No, it sounds like she makes sure his laundry is done.
Yes.
Makes sure that he's eating.
Fawns all over him, gives him all the attention.
Yes.
And she just, like, gets to be around.
And, like, the thing is, there can be beautiful opposite sex heterosexual friendships. I've seen it. I know it's real.
Platonic friendships are a real thing.
Yes.
And, you know, I just want to say, because she's like, Ian is without a doubt the person I trust with my entire life. We're just friends. Everyone's always asking. And, you know, like when he calls, we see like reenactments. His contact in her phone is a picture of them that looks like a couple.
Oh.
And I think she kind of loves that. But I'm like, okay, well, take a seat, Columbo. We got this. Leslie is super in love with him.
But she is, right?
And I do want to say again, like, this feels like a good time to say.
Okay, great. You're going to get a lot of that in this episode, fam.
This just feels like a good reminder. If your urge is to say, well, that's not my 20-year platonic friendship.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
You're absolutely right. If it's not about you,
yes.
Don't make it about you.
Yes.
There are victims in this story. There are victims in all the stories we tell.
Yes.
You're not one of them.
Yeah.
If you have a platonic friendship that kind of looks like this and it's great, Merry Christmas, congratulations.
Yeah.
I also don't care. I don't need to hear about it because we're talking about these two.
Can I ask you a question?
You're not the victim in the story.
Girl. I'm not the victim.
But I'm saying, literally, like, people are not, you know what I'm saying?
Am I alone in dropping the S from victims in this story?
What? There's one victim here.
There's only one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get into more of that.
Is there a question about who's the real victim here?
I'm just saying that I think there's only one victim in this story.
Right.
Yeah.
But like, don't feel attacked by what we're saying.
No.
If it doesn't apply to you, it doesn't apply to you. And that should be a good thing.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah, just be a passive listener. If you wake up and what the story that we are talking about does not apply to you, it's a great day.
Right.
99.9% of the time, that's me.
I'm thrilled.
And I recognize the privilege in that statement.
Yeah. That's a good thing. You should be like happy and like grateful for that. Yeah. Like I also don't care. Yeah. This is the platonic friendship we're talking about today that I think is definitely one-sided and not platonic.
Yeah, I agree.
So if this doesn't apply to you, that's good.
Well, Leslie is telling us that her son figure, Ian, when he had the opportunity to apply to be a U.S. Marshal, he was absolutely thrilled. And the U.S. Marshals, like, good to know.
The U.S. Marshals represent the Department of Justice. He would transport inmates from prison to prison. And he was responsible for protecting federal judges. So it was an important job.
Protecting federal judges. I think they do more than that.
From various kinds of threats.
Yeah.
Is what Ian's job was, to protect people from threats.
Yeah.
I just think it's interesting, like the Disneyland to U.S. Marshal pipeline. What's that about?
That is because that's the other thing. Leslie and Ian met because they worked at Disney and they both love Disney. Now, let me tell you, I do not identify as a Disney adult. I love Disney. I've now been twice as an adult.
There was that week where you were a Disney adult.
I know. I was really into it. But then you get in the online forums and you see how much more Disney adult people can be.
Sure.
I'm not that.
And once again, we're talking about these specific Disney adults.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not about you. Don't make it about you.
No, and like I've done many a show in Orlando. I've met lots of Disney adults. I love them. They're wonderful. They speak their own language. Mm-hmm.
It just so happens that we're talking about a bunch of Disney adults today.
I know, and I'm thrilled about it.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of magic in this episode.
Is there?
Well, we get to talk about Disney. If I have my way, we'll get to talk a little bit about Lilith Fair. We get to talk about New York at Christmas at some point.
Okay,
there's
great.
Some magic here.
Wonderful.
Okay.
We have audio of Ian. Because so BFF Leslie is like super not in love with Ian at all. Don't even think about it. But definitely like look at the picture of them. She loves when people are like, oh my God, is that your boyfriend? She's like, no.
No, he's like my son figure.
No, he's like not even, oh, he's my brother.
No,
he's like my son. His mommy moved out of state. So now I'm helping support him.
Like, I get to take care of him.
Weird anyway.
And Leslie, I hate to say this. You're not going to like this if you're listening. He picked you.
It's giving Janie Peterson.
He picked you.
Yeah, but he'll never pick you.
That's what I mean. He picked you because he knew that you would be endlessly available.
Yeah, he's using you.
Yeah, Leslie, you seem like a good person. I just like there's a little bit of
No. I wouldn't go that far. But sure, you know, I don't mean to cut you off.
No. Yeah, okay.
It's hard to disagree. Well, the point is, because they're just friends and Leslie has no feelings for him at all, when Angela enters the picture, she is thrilled, couldn't be happier for her son slash friend, Ian.
Girl, Helix is back. Look, we're not there yet, but it's about to be cozy bedtime season, and Helix is the perfect way to ring in that time.
The thing about Helix is that it doesn't matter what season it is.
Right.
You have the perfect temperature to sleep, which I don't know if you're anything like me, means that you're going to be a real grump in the morning if you don't have perfect temperature.
I used to wake up every, 2 hours, almost on the dot. I sleep straight through the night. I know I say this like a broken record, but every night that I climb into bed, it is so comforting and relaxing. I spent, my entire 20s with a bad mattress, and I paid the price for it. My Helix is my home.
Yeah, I have the Midnight Lux. I've had it for years. Mike and I love it. And then when Fiona came along, she's like, when are we going to bed, everyone? Woof, woof.
And fam, there's a 120-night sleep trial with a limited warranty. There's free shipping and seamless delivery. They send it right to your door.
Yeah, they have the Happy with Helix guarantee.
Yeah.
So you can rest easy, no pun intended, with seamless returns and exchanges. And the Happy with Helix guarantee offers a risk-free, customer-first experience designed to ensure you're completely satisfied with your new mattress.
So fam, get in on it. Go to helixsleep.com/TCO for 27% off site-wide.
That's helixsleep.com/TCO for 27% off site-wide. Make sure you enter our show name at checkout so they know we sent you.
helixsleep.com/TCO. Get a bed like ours.
And sleep well.
Truly.
About time.
Fam, before we get back to the show, just a reminder, two things. We've got a Patreon.
We sure do.
There's a lot going on Patreon right now. You are nailing it with the after parties.
Thank you.
So, for example, we are doing all of these after parties that are like the follow-ups and the things that are left out of the episodes. Tell them what you've done.
I've done The Crash.
Yep.
They're all Netflix documentaries, weirdly enough. The Crash, Maternal Instinct, and this story too, A Toxic Love Story.
Yes, which by the way, fam, if you don't know, that after party is available right now. It dropped the moment this episode dropped.
Clarifying the timeline, answering some questions. questions.
Of which I have many.
Letting you know where some people are today.
We also have over 500 full ad-free bonus episodes that you get the minute you sign up.
Yeah.
We've got a Hero Bell tier where we like do extra bonus episodes for you, like the Michael Jackson thing. The Tyra Banks one.
Oh, yeah. The America's, the three-part Next Top Model thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's just so much over there.
So much. And all the like long-form series, 3, 4, 5 episodes, we do that too.
Exactly. We also have a Discord, of which you are the queen. Tell them more.
Well, you know, no, Sasha's mostly in charge of that. But we have a lot of fun there. It's a really nice community. We have all different channels, so you can talk about true crime stuff. You can also like share pictures of your pets and celebrate milestones or, you know, it's great.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
So there's links to all of that and more in the show notes. Go check it out. So Leslie says Ian always wanted to be married and have kids. He was super excited that Angela wanted the same things. We hear Ian's voice talking about how he and Angela met at a Starbucks. They very quickly move in together.
2-3 weeks go by. I proposed to her. Because she was everything I ever wanted in a woman.
Within 2 to 3 weeks, he's proposing to her. Mm-hmm. And very soon thereafter that, she's pregnant.
Couple things. Yeah. One, we get footage of Angela with her dog, Daphne.
Oh.
Yay, Daphne.
Yay.
10 out of 10 to Daphne and nobody else.
Yeah.
Can I ask, this is the beginning of, this is the first of about 852 times we hear the term the condo.
Uh-huh.
Let me ask you.
Yeah.
I'm asking.
Yeah.
I'm not judging.
Yeah.
I'm asking a question. Why do people not say, oh, my apartment, my house? Why is it, and specifically, the condo, the condo, the condo?
Yeah, that's a good question. It could be like a California thing, like just shorthand that they use it. We don't, but you're right. Like they,
And if it's about—
Like I live in a condo. I call it my apartment.
Right. Because if it's about like, oh, to show that you own it, wouldn't that be the same thing as saying like, oh, my permanent car that I own? It's just your car. Or like, here's my permanent shirt that I bought.
And it's one of those things, too, that, like, if these people weren't terrible, it wouldn't matter.
Yeah, I hear it a lot in this. It's the condo, everyone, the stalker, the good guys, the bad guys, everyone's calling it the condo. And I'm like, what did I miss here? Like, real estate people, sound off.
Yeah.
I want to know what the deal is with
Get
that.
In the Discord. We'll create a channel called the condo.
So within months, these two are living together, married, and expecting twins. And BFF Leslie's like, no, I know, it's so fast, right? It was so fast. Though, right? It was like, Ian, like, maybe you should play the field because maybe the girl.
So happy for that.
Yeah. I mean, don't you want to play the field a little bit more, Ian? Because maybe the right one was in front of you the whole time.
Oh, God, Leslie. So Leslie learned.
Angela's been receiving these emails from someone called Lilith Is Truth. They have this biblical undertone. The nature of them are super threatening.
Biblical undertones, threatening.
Very
and
hateful.
Here's my note where I say, keep Lilith's name out of your mouth.
Well, this also
keep
makes
it out of
sense.
Your mouth.
Ian and BFF Leslie have to Google Lilith.
Of course.
So that's very telling.
Does not surprise me that neither one of them went to the fair.
Neither or even care or have a single solitary album from someone who was on that lineup.
Everybody had the Jewel album. They did not.
They don't deserve Fiona Apple, who I actually don't think played Lilith Fair. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
We're not good. We can't do this
again.
We can't relitigate that. We can't relitigate it.
But as we learned in the Lilith Fair doc that we covered,
I'm going to see Paula Cole in like a month.
I'm very excited for you.
Soundcheck experience.
This will probably be out by the time you see it.
If you see me at the Paula Cole show at the Wilbur on, I believe it's September 18th, come and give me a hug because I'm going to be crying.
That's your favorite venue of all time, right?
The Wilbur. The reason we're going there is because you and I have done the most magical time. Some of the most magical times of my life was sharing that stage with you.
That was so
I mean
good.
It from the bottom of my heart.
Oh, that's nice.
And I love the Wilbur Theater so fucking much. And I'm going to cry talking about it.
I know.
Like, I'm getting emotional
talking
about it.
I totally get it.
If you see me there, I need your hug. Come and see
Seeing
me.
Seeing like a band or artist you love in a place you love.
Yes.
There's no place like home.
She's playing New York City the night before, and we're not going.
Yep.
We're going to the Wilbur Theater the next day.
I totally get it.
Yeah.
But so we learned, and we know, that Lilith stems from the story of Adam and Eve. Lilith was Adam's first wife. She refused to bow down to him and be subservient, so she grew wings and flew away.
Yeah.
Now, people, as you know, some people totally miss or ignore the fact that she was a badass, and she's like a demon slut baby stealer. And I'm like, sounds kind of cool.
The thing about this is, no, I don't have a lot of thoughts on the Bible, but like we hate Adam all of a sudden because it was like she disobeyed Adam and she had to be flung out of the Garden of Eden. And she was, what did she say?
Lilith was an evil, wicked woman who committed adultery with Satan and produced a race of evil creatures. Lilith transformed into an evil demon out for revenge to kidnap and kill newborn children in the night.
To kidnap and kill newborn children in the night. Adam!
Well, it kind of makes sense that, like, when Sarah McLachlan told us the story of Lilith.
Totally.
And that was a totally different, like, she, like, didn't bow down to men, fuck the patriarchy. Yeah. But now Ian and Angela have, like, the like, Fox News version where it's just like, she, oh, no, not a woman.
It just made me be like,
slut.
Adam was such a dick. Okay,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, a total dick.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, Eve was blamed for everything. And so was Lilith, apparently. Yeah. But Angela and Ian are like 100% fuck
the
woman.
Which is funny because, like, Eve and Lilith probably would have been good friends. You know what I mean?
Lilith would have kicked Ian in the face.
No, Eve. Eve and Lilith.
Yes.
Lilith and Ian would have been, you know what? They should have gotten married.
No.
Leslie should introduce
them. I was
them.
Like stunned. I almost fell out of my chair. No, Leslie doesn't need more women around.
No, 100%.
But she does. She needs good women around her to bring her right back down to earth.
I know.
So they're extra terrified now, right? This demon slut baby stealer witch is after them. And I'm like, she sounds awesome.
Yeah. Also, Angela thinks that someone's been lurking outside the condo. Every time I say condo now, I'm not going to be able to unsee
it. Well, what's interesting is that the stalker is really, like, the stalker is really stalking and threatening Angela specifically,
yes.
Right? You stole Ian from me. I'm supposed to be the one in the condo. And I'm like, damn, even the stalker is saying the condo? We get a close-up of that email. And I'm like, wow.
The condo.
That even the crazy psycho stalker is like, get out of the condo?
It must be a status thing.
Like I don't know.
The Mance, like how Karen Walker, you should be like, well, let's go have drinks at the Mance.
Yeah, I would love to know the reasoning behind it. I'm sure there's a real reason and I'm just an idiot. Like that's absolutely always on the table.
Well, we learned 4 months before all of this, Ian had broken up with his ex, Michelle.
His ex-fiance.
He was still living in the condo that they owned together. More information on that to come.
Right, and it's complicated because it's all tied up in the condo. And a little bit of a spoiler or hint for the after party that is dropped right now. A lot of this is about the condo that Netflix didn't really go into. But there's a lot more to the condo and the fight and the condo. There's a lot here, so I'll break that.
Okay.
It's like part of the timeline of the issues that arise in this story.
I mean, it's a lot to do to get a condo that's not fully paid off. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it's June 3rd, 2016. Ian and Angela have called the police about the emails. And specifically, they're like, Michelle is behind them. We immediately want a protective order, and you have to arrest Michelle right now.
Yeah, we see body cam footage of the police coming into the condo. This email that has been sent today.
She's been at my work. She knows what I look like. She's described what I've dressed in detail last night. And it's like, I'm either safer in my home, where at least I know that I'm okay, or I go to work and we're...
What evidence do we have that it's Michelle?
Well,
why aren't the cops investigating the IP address and where this comes from?
I don't know if you'll get into this in the after party or not, but I'm like, I like this documentary. I think it's very well made, but it feels like there are things that are intentionally left out for the storytelling.
Yes, I agree.
Because it's sort of like, there are things that happen that the police are not reacting to in an appropriate way.
Yes.
And I don't know why that is.
Yeah, we'll get into more of it for sure.
Okay.
But even BFF Leslie is like, it's so annoying the cops didn't immediately arrest Michelle. Then she goes, this is a very new relationship. Ian and Angela are fragile. Sweetheart, that train has left the station. They're married and expecting twins.
I know.
If the relationship is so vulnerable, then we have a whole other set of problems. Well, what are you talking
about?
The
thing is, like, how could it not be vulnerable when they've only, like, even with all of that, they've only been together, like, 4 months at this point?
Yeah,
it's
barely.
It's crazy.
Barely. And so Angela files a restraining order against Michelle, and I'm like, how?
But see, I think that's fine. Like, this Michelle person is clearly insane.
But how do we know it's her?
Right. Well, and that's what I'm saying. I'm letting the documentary do a lot of work in my brain. Where
sure.
Like if she's filing for a restraining order, there must just be things like for time that we're not being told. They must somehow know that this is Michelle doing it. And she gets the restraining order.
Yeah, she files it against Michelle. BFF Leslie is thrilled to insert herself into this even more and offers to serve Michelle the papers. And I'm like, isn't Ian a U.S. Marshal?
Right.
Doesn't he have better resources than this? And, and BFF Leslie's like, I got it. And we see her serve Michelle.
The thing that's so crazy about this footage, it's taken by Leslie. It's like Leslie's camera phone.
For like her like backup.
And I'm like, there's this crazy woman, Michelle, standing in her bathrobe in the doorway reading this restraining order. I'm like, I would be afraid for my fucking life if I was Leslie.
Well, BFF Leslie whispers, you've been served, like quietly and quickly, and then runs away. And Michelle is like, why did that lady who was obsessed with my ex-fiance just hand me a piece of paper? Like, what is going on right now?
I'm also thinking, Michelle must be so evil that she doesn't care. That, like all of these people in these documentaries, the restraining order doesn't mean anything to
her. And yet so evil that Ian is totally fine to throw BFF Leslie to the wolves, even though he's a U.S. Marshal in charge of protecting judges from threats.
It's also like, why
this
is
this threat?
We heard the police saying to Ian and, what's her name, Angela?
Yeah.
Like, we can't do anything because even though you've been given a restraining order, it hasn't been served. Why don't the cops serve them? I don't understand that. Why is that not the cops' job to go serve the... Why are women in like who are escaping their abusive husbands and boyfriends who are going to kill them, why are they responsible for getting the piece of paper to that guy?
Because Leslie loves this.
Yeah. But loves even this. In Don't Date Brandon, it was the same thing. The cops aren't offering to do it. Like, these women have to do it themselves.
Yeah, I think in the body... I think in the video footage that BFF Leslie took, I think you can hear cops in the background.
Oh, okay.
But it's also like, Leslie, you don't have to be here for this.
I was just
she just like wanted to be involved.
Cop, take the paper to the door. You should be telling this woman, this lady is dangerous. Yeah. Like, we're not going to let you do this.
BFF, I'll handle it.
I love him.
I'm basically his mother.
She honestly, and I mean this, like if Michelle shot her, that would be great for Leslie.
Wonderful.
Look what I did for you as your mother.
He'd have to run right by her side.
Yes.
Then he can't leave her now.
No.
Look at what she went through.
Girl, Our Place is back. Fam, if you don't remember, Our Place makes beautiful, high-performance kitchenware designed to make healthy home cooking easier, simpler, and more joyful. Tell them about the oven.
Okay, there's this Wonder Oven. It does everything. It air fries, it bakes, it toasts, but it also has my favorite feature, the reheat feature.
Yes.
I'm a mozzarella sticks girly, okay? They're almost impossible to reheat.
That is 100% true.
Not anymore.
No, not anymore.
Not anymore. Save them, have them for breakfast.
Let me tell you, I'm a bacon and eggs girly, and I gotta talk about their pots and pans. Like, I love it so much. I cook all the time and I love knowing that they use only non-toxic materials. It's super simple. It's super versatile. And I like literally use it every day.
Yeah. The Our Place cookware has been made without forever chemicals since day one. They're not playing around.
Let me tell you about the Essential Cookware Set. It's an all-in-one set featuring Thermalink non-toxic ceramic non-stick coating, lightweight pressed aluminum for quick heat distribution, and non-toxic materials across every piece. It's the simplest way to transition your kitchen to safe non-toxic cookware. If you love yourself and your family, get the non-toxic stuff.
I mean, the food slides off the plate. And it makes it so much easier to clean, P.S.
That's true. So, fam, upgrade your kitchen with Our Place today.
Visit fromourplace.com/TCO and use code TCO for 10% off site-wide.
That's FromourPlace.com/TCO and use code TCO for 10% off site-wide.
With a 100-day trial, you can try it completely risk-free.
Like, no risk. Just go do it.
No risk, no toxins. Okay.
So now it's June 4th, 2016. Those emails have kept coming. The restraining order did nothing to stop Michelle.
Right.
We see the body cam footage again, and now we're told that these new rounds of emails are escalating.
Mm-hmm.
They're super violent.
These emails have pictures of decapitated people, aborted fetuses, decapitated fetuses.
You guys are
the third group of officers to come here.
Tonight.
This last week. Just this week.
Decapitated fetuses.
Yeah.
That alone should send this woman to prison for 40 years.
Yeah, because like, you know, as the cops just said, there's really nothing we can do until this advances. And wouldn't you know it, lucky for Ian and Angela, Michelle starts ramping it up even more.
There should be a law against like disseminating that stuff. Like you should not be allowed to send that shit in email.
No, you shouldn't. And I mean, it's crazy too, because there are definitely resources that the cops could use to really track down the IP address and where this is coming from and like end it immediately.
So, there's gotta be more to this. Like, we're also told this is the third set of officers who came out to Ian and Angela's condo this week.
The condo.
The condo.
Coming this summer in a world.
The condo.
Now, I wanna really slow down on what happens here.
Yeah.
Because this is where we really get to know Ian, and I hate him. So the cops ask if Michelle has ever been violent, and he's like, absolutely. And Angela in the background, oh, she's crazy.
Yeah.
And Ian goes, one time she was in that bathroom. This is where we start seeing the attitude. She held a knife, and she told me that she had a moment where she wanted to kill herself. And I'm like, okay, so Michelle didn't threaten you.
Right.
You weren't even in the same room. Did she tell you after the fact? Like, did you ask her if she was okay? And what's the timeline here? Because it sounds like Michelle's really going through it, and she's only a threat to herself.
Well, and she, according to Ian.
Yeah, this is in August of last year, a week before she left, last week of August, she told me in a crying fit of rage with her eyes wide open, but tears streaming down her face, freaking, that she wished she could burn this whole motherfucker down with me, you, and the dog in it.
as she's out the door, she's like, I wish I could burn it all down. So I'm like, okay, but she didn't. She left.
Right, yeah.
So she didn't do that. And I'm like, so the two big pieces of evidence told to us in a shitty tone that just screams small dick energy is that Michelle told him once that she was suicidal and didn't act on it and threatened herself and nobody else, and then said something super emotionally charged on her way out the door and then didn't hurt anybody.
The thing is, it's like, if these emails are real, they really are terrifying. Like,
yeah.
If Michelle has somehow now, like, escalated to a point where, like, she's like, you know, wherever she's living, she's just in a room going crazy and, like, sending decapitated fetuses in email.
Yeah.
That is terrifying.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I'm not, when you get something like that, I'm not saying they're wrong.
Yeah.
When you get a message like that, of course you have every right to be scared. I just feel like this has been happening for like 4 days. And Angela's like, I haven't seen any of my friends. My mom has to come visit. She goes, everybody's lives have to be halted because she's crazy. And I'm like, this started a week ago and you've already ramped up to grinding your and everyone else's lives around you to a screeching halt. Do you know how much shit has happened to me that nobody to this day knows about?
Yeah, I know.
You know, like,
I know. But like, just
even
to,
after
like,
the fact,
to play devil's advocate, like, if no one is ever prepared for decapitated fetuses in an email.
Never. I get that. But like, she hasn't been to work in a week and her mom has to come visit. Everyone with their fucking mommy issues. What's going on?
It's a little bit because we know what happens here. If we were like pausing and stopping this documentary in real time, that's how I was trying to watch this the second time, where I was like, let's imagine that everything that is happening is real.
But the first time I watched it, I was like, why are we arresting Michelle with no evidence? Like, for a digital thing?
Well, my thing was like, why aren't we arresting Michelle?
Track the IP and then we can sort the shit out right now.
Why aren't we questioning her? Did they question her? Like, if they question her, we don't know about that.
Yeah.
All we know is that these people are getting bombarded with these horrendous emails and everyone's just like, well, there's nothing we can do.
We will get into it in the after party.
Okay.
I promise you.
So, right.
We don't need to know about it this minute.
Just for storytelling purposes, they're leaving it out on purpose.
I wish that we got like a recap at the end.
Yeah.
That would have been nice.
Yeah.
But I gotcha.
Okay, good. That's where you come in.
Right? Always. But here's what we're told happened next. We just did this in the Skincare Queen episode.
Uh-huh.
We are told that Michelle went on Craigslist and responded to an ad that was already out there about someone looking to live out what they call a rape fantasy with a woman that he doesn't know. He is asking for this.
Yeah. And like, according, like, what we learn is that, like, Michelle, according to these people,
Michelle responded to an ad on Craigslist for fantasy rape with photographs of Angela inviting the guy to show up at the condo to rape Angela, saying, come to my house, and even if I scream, don't stop.
And it's like arranging as Angela for them to come to the house and live out this rape fantasy.
Yeah. If you'd allow me, you're probably going to hate this, but I just want to slow down on this out for a second.
Yeah. Let me just say one thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I have a really hard time saying the expression rape fantasy.
And I believe, based on my research, I reached out to a friend that I have in the kink community. It's a bit of a misnomer because I took a screenshot of the ad and what he says is, we would agree on limits before meeting. We can decide together on a safe space, like a safe location. I am clean cut. I'm clean cut, professional, sane, fit, drug free, and I have a dominant side. And I like so going into all that.
You certainly know somebody is sane if they tell you on Craigslist.
But I'm saying in the BDSM community, it's smart, sane, consensual, whatever. So that's a word that jumped out. And he said, again, this is just sex play. I'm into the sex part only, not into pain and violence.
Uh-huh.
So I learned that it's more like, it's a misnomer because it's more about like a dom sub relationship. And everything about this is 100% consensual. And it's called consensual non-consent. Because that's the thing.
Yeah, no, I get it.
So
I feel a lot better, actually, hearing you say all this.
Right. So it's not about like, oh, I want to be raped. It's a power dynamic. It's a dom sub thing. Like, that is a very popular dom who's in control, who's
and
not.
We're going to meet this guy eventually. And like the person who is posting this ad does all the right things, in my opinion.
I agree completely. And I thought that was important for us to say because he's also a bad candidate for what Michelle wants to do to Angela.
Right.
And I hate to say it, she could find...
No question.
...what she's looking for online. She had a choice and she picked him... 100% consensual. We'll talk about limits. We'll have the safe word. We'll do whatever's comfortable. Yep. We'll talk to each other first. Like, that's how you do something like this.
Yes.
And so he's a bad candidate for Michelle's plans.
And I wonder why then he was chosen.
I don't No.
You know?
But, right. So,
I mean, my theory is because the people who really set this up knew that he would show up.
I agree.
And that's what they needed.
That's what they needed, right? Because this guy, Craigslist Rick,
yeah,
shows up.
But once I got to the building, I noticed the name Ian Diaz. And it stopped me cold. I don't want to be walking into a situation where the boyfriend or the husband doesn't know, and then I get beat up or murdered. So I left.
Oh, in all of our conversations and phone calls, by the way,
yep,
she never mentioned a husband or a boyfriend. So he is immediately like, I'm not trying to get roped into something where I'm going to get arrested or get in trouble.
When, or like, murdered.
Or murdered, because this woman, like, and he's out. He doesn't ring the bell. He turns around and leaves smartly.
Yes. But like, it's enough for Ian and Angela to say, there's a man lurking and I was told today that I was going to get raped. We need the cops to get here.
Right. And it's like, okay, well, this guy clearly states he doesn't want violence or pain, and yet we chose him.
Yeah, it's another thing I think that the documentary goes by real fast for storytelling purposes.
Yeah, but again, absolutely nothing happened. It's like another non-event billed as an event.
Well, but what does happen is the police arrive. Ian is standing on the front porch holding his U.S. Marshal gun.
And his fucking badge.
And
hey,
his badge.
Hey.
Which he then tosses on the table in front of the cops. It's a total power dynamic.
100%.
Because a U.S. Marshal is a federal agent. I would imagine that means, like, in a hierarchy, he's a higher up,
yeah,
than these, like, local cops.
100%.
And the local cops, by the way, are not impressed by him, in my opinion.
Oh.
Like, the local cops are still, like, towing the line. They're not doing the, we got you, brother, you know, like.
Sure.
At this point.
They're really not doing anything. Because every time Ian's like, hey, she ramped up just like you said she had to. And they're like, yeah, still not enough, bro.
No.
So Michelle then apparently had this evil plan and then told Ian and Angela about her evil plan and sent all these screenshots.
But see, I wonder if that's why the cops are like, something fucking fishy is going on here. Like, why would somebody send somebody to rape you and then tell you that it was going to happen?
I just think it's crazy that at this point, the cops aren't looking into this at all.
Yeah.
I don't understand. We have the photo. There's so much traceable shit.
Well, the other thing too, though, is that if this were real, if Michelle was really doing this and really did find a guy to come and rape, and I hate saying that word over and over again.
Well, because it's not what...
But just that word in general, yes, is so upsetting.
Yes, of course,
but
obviously.
Like, that is an element of psychological torture. Like,
of course.
I did this, and this man is coming, and then he shows up?
Yeah.
Because in the world, in the, quote, Michelle's world, Angela hasn't read this guy's ad. She doesn't know that this guy's on the up and up.
In the real world,
yeah,
I'm not saying these messages are nothing.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're stupid to be scared. That's not what I'm saying. But I do think it's crazy that the cops haven't looked into this at all. And, like, nothing's making sense to me. So Michelle stayed quiet for 4 months.
Yeah.
Never reached out to Ian. And now suddenly,
right,
one random day, she starts going to 100 attacking Angela.
But that is why I feel like one of the reasons why the cops might not be taking this so seriously.
Then go up the chain of command, Ian. You're a U.S. Marshal.
Well,
stop calling the local Keystone cops, buddy.
Totally.
What are we doing?
How do you not know some sergeant somewhere?
Sums up.
Sums up.
Craigslist Rick isn't the only one to smell her at.
You don't get a Netflix as glossy as this one, if something's not up.
Something's up.
Totally.
So now
I want one of these documentaries one day to end, and everything happened exactly the way that you thought that it would.
Never.
I know.
Never once.
Girl, Jolie is back.
Yeah, so Jolie is a beauty wellness company with a clinically proven filtered shower head that's designed to remove chlorine and heavy metals that damage your skin and your hair.
So let me talk about this. We installed it in Daisy Shower. By the way, it's super cute. I installed it myself. If I could do it, anyone could do it. But, like, I know nothing about nothing when it comes to hair. And I honestly really did not realize how much water quality affects your skin and your hair until we switched to Jolie. So Daisy used to get out of the shower and we would still have to, like, rip the brush through her hair.
Oh my God.
It is a completely different post-shower hair experience.
Yeah. I'm sure her hair feels much softer, right?
Oh my God. It's softer. It's so easy to brush. She can, like, she stands there and lets me do it. It's not a fight anymore.
Yeah. Like, and it doesn't matter what your issues are. If you have, like, dry hair or brittle hair or scalp issues, or if you have breakouts on your skin.
Yes.
It helps the skin too, girlies.
Like, shower yourself with, like, the cleanest water possible.
Shower yourself with love and with Jolie.
Exactly. So, fam, get in on it. Try Jolie risk-free for 60 days by going to jolieskinco.com/TCO.
That's jolieskinco.com/TCO.
Jolie is available on Amazon and Costco, both online and in store.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Options.
And it's so easy to switch, I swear to God.
It is.
girl earning his back. Look, let me ask you, have you ever felt like a bank or a financial product was working against you rather than for you?
Hard yes.
Yeah, that's where Earnin comes in.
Yeah, because Earnin is the original earned wage access app that lets you access your pay as you work instead of waiting days and weeks and whatever for a paycheck.
We're talking up to $150 a day of money you've already earned. It's your money, plus up to $1,000 between paychecks. Yeah. It's yours. You should have it when you want it.
Yeah, it's not a loan. It's your money.
Exactly.
That you worked for.
And look, Earnin is a non-bank finance app. We're talking 5 million people and growing. 5 million people can't be wrong.
I mean, come on.
Right?
And because it's your money, there's no interest.
Nope.
There's no credit checks. There are no mandatory fees.
No.
You're just getting your money.
This is the simplest thing ever. You just get your money when you want it. So fam, download Earnin on the App Store or Google Play.
Spelled like earning money without the G.
Type in True Crime Obsessed under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show.
We got mandatory disclaimers.
Tell them, girl.
Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank.
Access limits are based on your earnings and risk factors. Standard cash outs take 1 to 2 business days with no mandatory fees.
Expedited transfers available for a fee. Tips are voluntary and don't affect the service.
Available in select states. Terms and restrictions apply. Visit earnin.com for full details.
There you go. So it's June 26, 2016. Angela calls 911. She is hysterical.
Somebody came from behind me and shoved me against my wall and started to choke me and were telling me that I'm going to fucking get it and it's time for me to get raped.
Someone in a ski mask broke into the condo and tried to rape her.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so now can we look into who's sending these messages? Can
and
we
really,
track an IP address, for God's sake?
It's very disturbing because we see the body cam footage of Angela. We see this. We see her makeup mark on the wall where the guy pushed her up against the wall.
Yeah, not a lot of bruises on her, but the makeup is definitely on the wall. She looks great for carrying twins. She looks like a twig.
I gotta say, though, the acting is pretty on point. She seems pretty shaken up.
Well, it's weird because the guy came in, like, today's the day you're going to get raped, and then he leaves.
Yeah.
So it's another non-event billed as this major big event. Like, nothing
That's
seems
true.
To actually be happening.
We
he just,
never
like, goes.
Get the story as to how she chased him off.
And so Angela's like, oh my God, it was so awful. Okay, so for the last month, Michelle, this ex, has been emailing us. Like, she totally composes herself, and she's like, here's the T. It's M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E.
Yeah. But at this point, the officer says to her, you know what? It's gone too far this time. I've got a warrant in my car. I'm going to get her right now.
So Angela says she's threatening my child.
Right.
I thought she was having twins.
I was so confused. I'm like, wait, she's got a kid already?
Yeah, but I thought she was going to have twins, no?
Put a pin in that.
So the cops are finally like, okay, enough is enough. We're not going to do any investigating at all. We're just going to go arrest Michelle. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. So Michelle's arrested. And we hear a little bit of audio of somebody talking, like recorded audio, a professional person talking to Michelle.
I think it's the body cam.
Yes, I think you're so. Right. And she says, she does not know what Lilith is truth is. For me, the first time I'm watching this, because I'm an idiot. I'm in hook, line, and sinker. I'm like, oh my God, she's so evil. She's so evil.
But she says, the cop's like, well, you know, we're here about the stuff going down between you and Ian. And Michelle goes, yeah, I know.
But the thing is, they read her some of the emails. And like, some of the emails.
Get ready, the truth is coming. God's laws above all laws, including the law of man. So did you write this?
Yeah, that was me.
Did you write that? She says
she
yes.
She says yes. And I'm like, what?
Now, it is a trick of documentary storytelling to sort of switch gears in this moment.
Yes.
Because now we believe, oh my God, like, wait, I didn't think I could trust Ian and Angela, but Michelle's now fucking admitting to it. Like, she did this.
Right. And also, so she's admitting to sending the emails, but she doesn't know who Lilith is truth is. So
right.
We have an answer, but a lot more questions.
But then suddenly, Michelle, the monster, is sitting down for her, like, she does that viral trend of, like, sitting down in the chair for her Netflix documentary, and she says about those emails that she wrote, I don't know where they came from, or why they wrote it. I listened to a lot of sermons growing up. It was a weird brain dump from childhood. And I'm like, Michelle, what is going on?
Let's go back.
Yeah.
Let's go back for Michelle today.
Yes.
Telling us her version of being with Ian. They met online in 2013. She even says she was like, yeah, I bought into the Disney propaganda when I was a kid. I thought if you were like super wholesome, I'd get the prince at the end.
And she says like, Ian takes her on a Disney date. I would be so in.
Okay.
I would be so in.
And to everyone up in arms, we're not talking about you if you're a Disney adult, but Ian, Michelle.
Are people up in arms about this?
People get very, well, they're up in arms about literally everything.
But the
Disney
thing,
adults are very protective of being Disney adults. I'm not talking about you.
No, I know. I had one friend from high school who, like, back in the day, maybe 10, 15 years ago, when I was, like, still seeing Facebook messages from, like, people from high school, one woman had become, like, an emphatic Disney adult.
Sure.
And people would, like, not give her a shit, but, like, ask questions, and she would go bananas.
I got news for you. There are losers in every community.
Yeah.
So if you're a good one, congratulations.
I know, but
there are good ones out there. I know.
On a first date, if you want to be like, can I take you on a Disney date? I'm going.
Okay, so here's what happens, though. Michelle tells us 100 times, he's a Disney adult times a million.
Yeah.
She's like, I've never seen an adult so into Disney. He goes multiple times a week. He used to work
there.
That's
why he lives in Anaheim.
Yes.
It's in Anaheim. That's why he lives
there. But he's a U.S. Marshal now.
Yeah.
And still needs to be close to Disneyland. And so
I see these people on TikTok all the time that are like, it's my third night. Tonight I'm going to go to this restaurant.
Great. Like, go to Disneyland.
There were a couple of gays I was looking for. I'm like, if I see them, I'm getting an autograph. There's also the plus-size park hoppers who I'm obsessed with.
Okay.
They're just plus-size women who are like, here's what it's like as a plus-size person to go to, like, on this ride and to eat this ride. And I am obsessed with them.
Great.
I'm a Disney adult.
I knew it.
Oh, I'm a Disney adult.
That's why, when you said before, I'm not one, I was like, what happened to that 1 week where you were? Did you just abandon it? Is that allowed?
No.
Did you go to the meetings? Release you?
Now I'm sweating and crying. I don't know what's happening.
All right. Well, here's the thing.
You got to get us back on track.
Don't worry. I gotcha. Because Ian used to work there.
He told me he went all the time, like multiple times a week. As we're walking around, he's showing off his knowledge of how things work behind the scenes.
And I'm like, okay, so let me get this straight. He made his first date about them and then mansplained Disneyland to her.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes. And it was, you know, because we learned that he worked there for like 10 years with Leslie or whatever. So he knows everything. He knows all the lore.
She goes, I've never met anyone this into Disney beat as an adult. Also,
I know.
He creepily tells her that Belle is his type.
That is the fucking dirtiest thing I've ever heard.
And she looks like Belle.
I know.
Henceforth, I therefore, know. Ergo.
I don't know. I don't want to get in trouble with anybody, but like having like a cartoon character person
Okay. I think growing up, we all had
people. Yeah.
But you characters.
Said growing up, that's different.
Yeah. Because, you know, we didn't
have much. If you're a kid. I mean,
we had Newsies and Bye Bye Birdie and Damn Yankees and
I'm not
cartoons.
Pushing Prince Eric out of bed anytime soon. You know what I mean?
You know, it was like Princess Jasmine and Aladdin.
That's when you knew.
See?
That's when you knew.
And I also wanted, like, before I knew better, I was like, I want a Raja. She has a tiger as a pet who protects her and is awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway. It's not appropriating also. But anyway, it's gross that he's, like, still in his 30s. And he also is the type of guy who's, when his mommy moves out of state, he still needs someone to support him. Like, this guy's gross.
For me, what I found really gross, they take a trip to New York for the holidays. Like, this guy is one of those, like, I'm magical and whimsical, like the Disneyland thing, then like New York at the holidays, which you cannot beat.
New York
at the holidays, it is
the best.
Absolutely, it's an unsurvivable barren landscape on December 26th forward, in my opinion.
No, it's the day after Christmas hits hard, man.
It hits real hard. But the holidays in New York is like magical. So he takes her on a trip and we see them in like Dina De Luca or something.
I think they're in Italy.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
I think.
But the way he's talking to her, like he's videoing everything and even she thinks it's a little weird and she's just like blown away by like the holiday magic and he's like, you're so cute.
He's like infantilizing
her. He's so like feeding her cookies and
stuff.
He's
like patting her on the head. I hate it.
I hated it.
But even worse than that, Ian has this idea to buy a condo together.
And he finds these new construction condos in downtown Anaheim. We can literally drive to Disneyland in, 10 minutes. And oh my God, we can also see the fireworks from our balcony. And that was actually the clincher.
Michelle was like, cannot stress it enough. 10 minutes away from Disney and the fireworks every night. That's all he wanted.
Yes.
Now, Ian has a terrible plan.
I just wanted to say, too, that Michelle, it isn't, like, I think even she would say, at this point in her life, it's very important to give him what he wants.
Absolutely.
She will say that she was naive when she went into this relationship. Mm-hmm. She hadn't dated very much before. She really wants her prince, and it's all happening, and it's all, he's doing all of the things. He's taking her to all the magical places.
Right. And in the moment, like, we hate that video now, kind of knowing what's coming or clocking some of this, just because, like, in our line of work, we kind of do that. Yeah. But in the moment, he's, like, fawning all over her.
Yes.
Everything she does is amazing, and she's his belle, and, like, it's kind of billed as this really great lovey thing.
Yes.
Ian has a terrible plan, and I really want to slow down on this because this is a lesson for all of us.
Yeah.
The plan is Michelle is going to give her entire savings for the entire down payment for this condo, and Ian is going to, quote, help out with the mortgage. Stop right here.
Sounds like babysitting the kids. Am I wrong?
No. Please, please, please. I'm so serious. Only buy a place with someone if you're 10,000,000% sure.
Yeah.
And still make sure you're legally protected. Never have an arrangement like this, because if Michelle's name is on the condo, it's unclear right now. If it is, it leaves Michelle on the hook for everything.
Yes.
Everything. And if her name's not on the condo, then it means that she handed over her entire savings to Ian and she has no rights.
Yes.
Either way, this is a predatory real estate deal where Ian wins no matter what, because she brings the down payment. She's still on the hook for the mortgage.
Yep.
And Ian's going to, like, hopefully maybe help out. No, no, no. Please, I beg of you, don't do this.
What I hate about this, you somehow are immune to it. And, like, you're like a unicorn. But
No.
But I mean that, like I've known you for 10 years now. We've been through some shit together.
Sure.
Like, you have pretty much clocked everything. I mean it. Like, you're one of the few people in my life that I can say that about. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I think that people don't get themselves knowledged up the way they should. And the love blind, like, the Disneyland dates and the New York date it's by design, and it just works on a lot of us.
Well, he's like,
it just does.
He's co-opting, like, Disney magic.
Well, and the thing is, so many times people will just do things knowingly against their better judgment. They just want to believe. And somehow you're immune. And it's an amazing thing about you. But it's just tough, because it's like, hundreds of thousands of people are going to hear what you just said and know it's true.
Yeah.
But somehow these people can still trick us.
Well, you know what the thing is, too? And we see this all the time. This is why everything happens so fast.
Yeah.
This is why they move in so fast. This is why they're in love so fast. Let's buy a condo together, because now you're on the hook.
Yes.
Now
yes,
there's
yeah,
paper. Now there's this. And so you can't really think. And then Michelle's like, oh my God, he loves me. And then he bills it as like, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. Hand over your entire savings.
Yes.
And it feels so fast and Disney, and we're right there. And like, I get it.
And I'm going to give him what he wants, and it's going to be, you know.
I'm not judging it.
Yeah, no,
I'm
no,
not,
no. I know, like, you're not judging it. Yeah.
I can just see it. I can see a little bit of the bigger picture for whatever reason.
It's devastating how often very smart people, that whole, like, against my better judgment, that's a real thing.
Of course.
People can know better, but somehow be persuaded. And, because you're not just working against yourself.
Uh-huh.
You're swimming upstream against a person who knows exactly what to do to fool you.
And just so you know, I know you know this, but just to make it clear, I don't consider myself a unicorn. I can see the patterns and I've learned from it.
Yeah.
There are things that I've done in my life against my better judgment and never the fuck again.
Yeah.
I can't live any other way.
And I'll say me too, but like some of these lessons are, well, not only that, but they are very fucking hard earned.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm not saying that, like, you don't know that.
No, no,
it's
no.
just, you know.
But I don't want it to sound like I'm just like, I'm immune and I'm perfect.
No,
like, no.
You never said that.
I've been
said
through
it.
Shit.
And, like, we would be out of a job gleefully if telling people these things made a difference.
I know.
Because it's not Michelle as much as it is Ian. Ian knows exactly what to do.
They always do.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's why it might feel like we're a broken record, but I think it's really important to remind people.
It's funny because a lot of times when we watch these documentaries, we do this for a job. So we watch every documentary. So we see this time and time and time and time again. A lot of people only watch Maternal Instinct or only watch A Toxic Love Story or only watch Don't Date Brandon. And they're like, this never happens. And you and I are like, this happens every day.
Yeah, you really, I know we say it as a joke, you really can't trust anyone.
It's true.
You can't ever say they would never, because they could and they might and they would. I think we've learned that.
Welcome to our 7-hour episode. Girl, Ethos Life Insurance is back. Can I tell you when I knew I needed life insurance?
Yeah.
The minute I had a child, I knew that I can't leave Steve to fend for himself if I get hit by a train tomorrow.
I gotta tell you, life insurance comes up a lot on this podcast.
For sure.
For good and bad reasons. But this is a good reason.
Yeah, fam, Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy 100% online. I cannot tell you how much I love that.
I know. And you can get a quote in seconds, you can apply in minutes, and you can get coverage that very same day.
The thing that held me up for forever was the medical exam. I just couldn't get there. With Ethos, There is no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions.
And you can get up to $3 million in coverage.
Yes.
That's crazy. Some policies are as low as $30 a month.
Yeah, and you'll get the lowest rate from their network of trusted carriers.
And Ethos has 4.8 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot with over 4,000 reviews.
So fam, take 10 minutes to get covered today with life insurance through Ethos.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/TCO.
That's ethos.com/TCO.
Application times may vary and rates may vary.
Trustpilot rating as of 6/1/25.
So now we're back in time, right? Michelle's arrested.
Hadley is being held on $1 million bail. If convicted, she faces up to life in prison.
She's facing life in prison. She's all over the news. And I'm like, what evidence do we have against her?
I know.
Show me.
I know.
It's all digital. And yet we have no one's traced an IP address. We have no, like, what is going on here?
I mean, you know, we get Michelle's dad for a minute here too, being like, he's the best. And he's just like, our friends thought she did it, everyone that we knew thought she did it, we're going to learn that they lose their entire family business because nobody wants to do business with a family of this kind of person.
Their daughter's an attempted rapist?
Yes, right. But Mike is like, we knew she didn't do it. So he's asking the same question you're asking. What evidence do they have?
So he goes, but I'm logical, right? He goes, so to me, 2 + 2 will always equal 4 no matter what. When things don't make any sense, that is not a world that I exist in well. And I'm like, is this fucking play about me?
I know.
Mike, yes. Like, it's just so nice to hear that.
We're about to start to unravel some stuff. We're going to jump back to the summer of 2013. We meet Jason Rayburn. He was at a bar in Huntington Beach. Some cute blonde walked through the doors, flashy, cute, walked with swagger.
Yeah.
He mentions he's in law enforcement. She is too. She's an attorney.
Well, it's interesting though, because she works for the Department of Justice.
Weird.
Oh, it's Angela, everybody.
Yeah. Angie. I know.
She works for the Department of Justice, which is quite a coincidence because she will eventually marry Ian.
Right.
Who also works for the Department of Justice. Weird.
And like Jason is saying, Angie is everything a guy could want. Fun, funny, kind, energetic, vivacious. Once again, within weeks, she moves into his place. He's falling for her.
And it was her idea because she's like, I don't know if I really like my apartment, babe.
Which is like, we got to get back to that. Because she does it too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's, if you're not, just in case you're not like paying close attention, Angela is the person that like we've been talking about this whole time who was, Michelle was like sending men to rape her.
Yeah.
And getting married Ian, pregnant with twins after 2 weeks.
So they move in together and oh my God, are you ready for this? 5, 6, 7, 8.
She divulged that she had cervical cancer and the cancer progressed to stage 4.
The fake cancer, stage 4 cervical cancer,
but
suddenly.
Also 5, 6, 7, 8, Jason wants to be super supportive and go to all the appointments with her. She won't have it. She wants to battle this on her own, prove to herself she can do
it. And she has so much pride. And so we have the hashtag Angie Warrior. Women are cutting their hair in solidarity.
We got to talk about Mary because Mary is, we don't get enough of Mary in this thing. She is amazing. She met Angela in 2014, thought Angela was warm and friendly.
She's Jason's mom.
Oh, that's Jason's mother?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, that's what makes it awesome.
Read the entire lower third, fam, not just the name part.
Mary is Jason's mom.
I didn't realize that.
Yes.
Oh.
So that's why she says.
I watched this twice. I didn't realize that.
She's like, oh, I totally fell for it.
Yeah.
And she goes, she was like Angie. Angie was like an injured bird. And who doesn't want to take care of an injured bird? I'm like, Mary, thank you for being so honest about this.
I know. And Mary is saying like Angie was getting sicker and sicker and was losing her hair, not feeling pretty. Jason's not going to be into her anymore. So there's one particular appointment that Jason really wants to go to. Like he's been told he can't come with the love of his life to her stage 4 cervical cancer appointments one too many times.
Yeah.
She doesn't want him to go, but she can't stop him. They go to the appointment and Jason's looking around like, what is this
Where
place?
Am I?
Where are we?
For stage 4 cervical cancer,
yes.
It's like not making sense where they are.
Because it's not a fucking hospital.
No.
So he goes up to like one of the people who works there and is like, what kind of cancer do you guys treat here? And they're like, we're plastic surgery. We remove moles from people.
So they're like, huh.
Yeah.
And then Mary, the mom, is like, you know what? Here's a weird thing that I thought I noticed and I gaslit myself to kind of convince myself that it didn't happen.
Angela was very upset because she was losing her hair. She had her hat on, of course, and we'd be talking and I'd see her go like that. And at first I thought she was concerned because she didn't want us to see that she was balding. But I'm realizing she's pushing her hair up. This bitch has more hair than I do.
This bitch had more hair than I did. She was hiding her hair and pushing it up into the hat.
I don't understand how, when you do these schemes, you're not the best at it. Like, how hard is it to not just fucking, to not touch your hair for the 45 minutes you're having coffee with Mary?
I'll do you one better. How hard is it to not fake cancer?
I know.
That's the easy part.
But it's also like, Angie, go all in. Shave your head, girl.
I know. She's too vain.
What she's trying to get out of this, I don't even know.
I don't even know either. I mean, well, yes, we do. Attention.
Well, yes.
Money, attention. Yeah. Yeah. Like stolen valor.
Didn't she at least shave her head? The one
Who cares? I don't know.
There's probably been so many, I can't remember their names.
But Mary, the mom, is like, I don't want to be an asshole and call her out. And I'm like, what do we say every single time?
When the mask falls.
Be the asshole.
Yeah.
For God's sake. Because what's the harm?
Right.
You say, I've seen one too many documentaries. I just need to know it's legit. It's not you, it's me.
No. Yeah.
And then what?
That's a... God damn it. Write a book, girl. Write a book. Jesus Christ.
What's the heart? Like, what's the worst conversation? What's the worst that could go?
I follow this woman online. Her name is Cammy Orange, and she's a boundaries coach, and she, like, tells people how to say the hard thing.
Sure.
And I'm just obsessed with her.
Yeah.
And, like, whatever. It just made me think of it. Like, you just gave them the line. Like, if you know somebody that you think is faking cancer, literally say what you just said. Yeah. Sorry, I've seen one too many documentaries. I've got these two queens screaming in my ear every Tuesday.
Yeah.
Would you mind taking the hat off?
We're going to laugh about this someday because it's totally me. Then it's a really good news situation.
Yeah.
Either you're wrong.
Good news, bad news, because maybe she does actually have cancer.
Well, yeah, no, I think it's good news because, oh, right, that part's awful.
good
news meaning like, oh, this person isn't lying to you.
Yes.
Or you realize they're a liar, cut them right out of your life, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Well, then also Jason gets sent a picture of her from chemo one day, sees a picture of an IV bag that Angie's not in. And he's like, his spidey senses are going off. And unlike Wade from Feral Hogs or whatever it was called,
God.
He's like, let me do a little goog. And he like reverse image searches that picture, which, by the way, everybody do that for everything. It's so easy to do.
So easy.
I had to go through pages upon pages upon pages as I was just about to quit that very last page. I found that exact photograph.
He sees that exact picture, and it's from some dude's actual cancer treatment. And now he knows. Mary knows. Jason knows.
The difference is that Jason actually liked Angie.
Yeah, that's true. No.
Wade hated Taylor.
That's true.
So, and also, straight out of Gone Girl, Angie has a fake journal writing about how sad Jason's going to be when she kicks the bucket.
I mean, so you're so invested that you're going to write a full journal about how sad Jason's going to be, but you're not going to, like, shave your head or at the very least don't touch your hair for 5 minutes?
But this is great.
Yeah.
Because the best part is coming up.
Well, because Jason instantly is like, how do I get this crazy woman out of my house? Like, Jason instantly knows it's got
to
be
And
over.
His mom. So yes. It's nice to have an ally,
yep.
Wade, when people are screaming at you. Just agree.
This is so good.
I want to see more of this.
Me too.
Jason and his mom stage a fucking intervention.
It's incredible.
And they invite everyone who Angie has ever lied to over, and they call her out on it. And Angie is in a truly terrible wig.
Yes, I was hoping you were going to say the wig is so bad.
Like from the Brady Bunch movie.
Totally.
Like horrible, horrible, horrible. And like, they're literally like, why don't you have a seat? Like,
don't. They Chris Hansen the living
shit
out of her.
They're calling her out.
Yes, yes.
They're laughing at her. She's
Mary,
doubling down.
We see a point of view from Mary's cell phone. She laughs in her face.
The whole thing ends up in a screaming match.
Show us your port.
That spills out into the parking lot with Angie running away with that god awful wig.
Show me your port. There's nothing to show. You're a fucking liar. She's a liar.
Show me your port. Show me your port, you liar. Show me your port. And I'm like, this is spectacular.
I know. It's so good.
I am so sorry so she good. Caused people pain.
Me too.
But like, I want to see more of this.
It is
scrumptious. And also,
yeah.
Showing every last one of you, this is possible. It is possible.
It is.
It is possible.
I know. Yeah. It was breathtaking.
Yeah.
And it's the kind of thing where like
it
Mary
so
and Jason are like, they've been waiting for the day the documentary filmmaker was going to call.
Yeah. And she's like, what? And you could see her shaking, like the adrenaline of
because Mary's like insisting to see the port, and at first she goes to it hurts.
Oh, bitch.
But there's also
you bitch.
There's one woman in the room who believes her and is like, I'm getting her out of here.
You're gone too.
I don't
see know.
See you later,
you are.
Sarah.
Like enabler.
I know.
So, okay. There is an excellent chance that Michelle is 100% innocent and Angie's behind the whole thing. You lie about cancer. So now it's back to 2016. Michelle's been in prison for 80 days.
80 days.
She's losing hope. She's miserable. Her parents' business is plummeting because people are like, you're like all the rape allegations.
They're boycotting it because they don't want to support this family.
So the only people happy right now are Angela, Ian, and BFF Leslie.
Yeah. Well, so Leslie gets a call from Ian at 2 in the morning and pretends like it's not the greatest moment of her life.
Yeah.
Son Ian calling her at 2 a.m. so she can save the
How
day.
How can I fix this?
How can I fix it?
Well, guess what? Ian calls BFF Leslie.
The very first words out of Ian's mouth are, "The twins are not real." And I just said, "What? Wait, what?" And he said, "The sonogram of the twins was fake.
The twins aren't real." And I'm like, of course they're not real.
Here's the thing, though.
Like, that does not surprise me in the least. I was waiting for this.
Yeah.
Because the minute you hear she faked cancer to the point where she needs a fucking intervention, can't believe a goddamn word she says.
Because at this point, I'm like, oh my God, Michelle's not the bad guy. Angela's the bad guy. Ian and Michelle are the victims here, you know? Sorry. We just have to pretend like we believe that
know,
for like five
know,
more
know,
minutes.
Know,
we're almost there. We're almost there.
We're almost there. It's very maternal instinct. The sonogram's fake. The pregnancy tests are fake. Angela looks different in every single photo. It's like the whole thing. She's very skinny. She does not look like she's carrying twins.
I can't believe that she didn't get the kicking belly. Like, what's her name?
That was next.
The kicking belly. When I learned that existed, I think you were the one that told me that.
I sure was right here on this very podcast.
That is sick. Whoever makes those should go to prison forever. And their kids.
They say that it's for movies. They say that it's for theater.
Then you should need a light. You should be Steven Spielberg to be able to order it. You know what I mean?
No, I know. I know. I mean, because people just...
It's like silencers. Why do we need those?
Not unlike Disney adults and people who have platonic friendships or drive loud-ass cars. There's good and bad.
That car had throat.
There's good and bad in all of these communities.
There should be two silencers on Earth. They should belong to spies only, and we should have tracking devices on them.
Sure. Whatever.
Okay. So Ian takes all this to the cops.
Well, Ian and BFF Leslie, and even in the reenactment, she's sitting right next to him holding his hand.
This is her time to shine, girl.
So either, tell me your thoughts on this.
Okay.
Either she is obsessed with Ian, and or Ian is a man that cannot do a single thing without a woman, or both.
Absolutely both.
Okay.
Absolutely both.
And she's happy to play that role, and he's happy to have her.
Yeah.
And use her.
Yep.
Great.
No, but if this were real, and like, of course you would need your best friend. You know what I mean? Like, if you just found out, if you thought you were having twins and all of a sudden you weren't, this is my big question. Did he know, or like what? The con of the con artist is the mind-blowing mindfuck of this whole thing.
I think you know. But you want to know why?
Yeah.
Because they bring all the fake pregnancy tests, including the ones with pee on them, to be like, she drew this line. Why are you saving like 10 pregnancy tests so that you can bring them to the cops?
Then let me ask you another question. Do you think Angela knew that he knew?
Yeah, I think...
You think they were in this together?
I do.
Because we never get into... Fam, we're going to learn that Ian's a bad guy. Like, Ian is not a victim here. He's a bad guy.
And neither is Angela.
Right. No, but... So, Ian's a con man. Angela's a con woman. What are the odds?
I know. Match made in hell, right?
But like, what are the... We've never seen this. And in 10 years, we can't really say that very often.
Yeah.
That, like, so, Ian preys on women that he can control.
Mm-hmm.
And so, he finds a woman that he doesn't know about Jason. He doesn't know that she faked cancer.
Or did he uses U.S. Marshal Goog to check her out and then realize that she's a liar and was like, this is going to be great.
Okay, so let's say he did that. Does she know that he did that?
I don't know.
So, right? Like, that's what makes this documentary so brilliant. It's like, did he know that she was faking the pregnancy? We don't know. If he did she know that he knew? Or did they go into the faking of the pregnancy together?
I think they went in on the pregnancy together because it's the ultimate stakes. It raises the stakes. It raises the horror.
That's a very good point. Angela's about to take a very hard fall.
Or is there a world where he flipped on her before she could flip on him?
Ugh.
Is there a world...
Is this the best documentary we've ever covered? like, it's...
This might be our longest episode.
Yeah.
Happily.
Sorry, Tom.
No, sorry, but also not.
I know.
Because there's a lot to say. Is there a world where he didn't know and then, like, the narcissist got out-narcissisted?
Wouldn't that be diabolical?
And then because he's like, oh, I have to be the one in control. How dare you try to fake twins? And then that's why he threw under the bus? I don't know. Like, are those all possibilities? Sure. I think... that they were in on it together, because what raises the stakes more than twins?
That is absolutely true.
Of course the cops are going to be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Craigslist Rick said that he was on the phone with a woman confirming everything before he went over to the house.
Yeah.
That had to be Angela.
That had to be Angela. So Angela knew that Ian was behind the whole thing.
And like, Ian, how'd you find out the twins were fake? How did, there's no detail about that.
Well,
he
says that he could tell that the pregnancy tests were manipulated.
Why are we saving and going through pregnancy tests?
Right.
Here are the 10 pregnancy tests she took. Uh-huh. Here you can see she used a Sharpie. Here's the one she peed on, he says. Why are we saving these? And if you save, if that's like a thing, again, I don't know anything about this, yeah. But if that's like a keepsake, I don't know.
I was having a kid until the day she arrived. So.
Yeah, well, you're very different. You also didn't have to pee on a stick.
That's true.
But I'm saying if you did have to pee on a stick and you're happy about it, could that be a keepsake? I don't know shit about shit.
Yeah.
But it does feel weird that she saved all of them.
No, that's true.
And there are multiple pregnancy tests that Ian could be like, see, here's my proof. It just doesn't feel real to me.
And it's just tough that we'll never know.
This we'll never know because only Ian and Angela, and they're not here, so.
Oh my God.
Anyway, Ian basically says exactly what the ex Jason just says. Like we met, because now he's at the cops being like, Angela's a monster.
Yeah.
And I'm innocent, and here's the proof. And it's the same thing we just heard from Jason, the same thing we hear a million times. Oh my God, she was so amazing. She was the perfect girl. And then she, like,
and
tripped
like,
me.
Angela,
tripped
no matter me. Who knew what, like, she takes the fall. On January 6, 2017, she pleads guilty to fraud, false imprisonment, falsely reporting a crime. Ian annuls the marriage.
Yeah.
Angela is sentenced to 5 years in prison and moves away from California. Now, this feels like the end of the documentary.
We're 43 minutes in.
We've got another 40 to go.
It's the halfway mark.
Jesus.
Another lie that Ian tells here, because they're like, hey, have you spoken to Angela? No. Have you tried to? No. That's a lie. We hear him on the phone,
yes,
calling her a million times, telling her he still loves her.
Where are we getting these voicemails from, by the way?
And why is he lying about that?
Well, we cut back to Michelle, because here's the thing. We're so ready to believe Angela was the monster. Angela was the asshole. And Michelle says,
I think the media gleefully grabbed a hold of this narrative of the crazy woman, the jealous woman. And if they couldn't paint me as that, then they were just going to paint Angela as that. But they didn't want to talk about the man involved. Nobody wanted to talk about that.
But nobody wanted to talk to me about the man involved. I wanted someone to listen because there was a lot more to tell.
Jesus Christ, I'm so locked in.
I know.
I'm so locked in.
I know.
But I was also thinking, hey, BFF Leslie and Ian, why aren't you running to the cops trying to do right by Michelle now?
Right.
Now that you know, I need more urgency from you.
Yep.
Chop, chop, the both of you, BFF Leslie included. You want to be right in the middle of this?
Yep.
Here you are. You can't pick and choose when you're in and when you're not. You should have been, I didn't see any or hear any urgency. Even BFF Leslie now, no urgency of like, should your stomach be coming out of your butt? With like, I can't believe she's been in that. Look, we had a really messy breakup, but goddamn,
right?
I need to help her. None of that.
Well, that's why. So Jason Higley is here. He works at the Department of Justice. He's a criminal investigator, digital forensic examiner, and he investigates cases involving Department of Justice employees. He's basically the, what do they call those people who do that for the cops?
Oh, like internal affairs.
He's like internal affairs for the Department of Justice.
Round of applause for DOJ Jason. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, he's great.
But so because it's like, oh, I look into digital forensic bullshit about U.S. Marshals scamming the U.S. Marshals Service.
Right.
DOJ Jason is right where he needs to be
because
right
because it's so clear to Jason right from the jump that, like, there's something going on with
Thumbs
Ian.
Thumbs up.
And I would imagine when you do this job as long as Jason has, there are things that you see right away that are common in all of the people who do things like this.
Like Artie Bucco says in Mickey Blue Eyes, there's something going on here.
Yes.
There's something going on.
So Jason listens to the first interview that Ian does with the police. He says right away he sounds anxious. Mm-hmm. Next, he watches the body cam footage. The first night, like when the cops get called and there's like the horrible emails and all of that, he says that he can see like Ian leaving the frame and he's coaching Angela from the other room. Mm-hmm. And he says, makes me think that Ian has evolved.
In addition, one of the things I noticed was Ian has tremendous animus toward Michelle. I mean, his desire to have her locked up struck me as rather odd.
But she needs to be in fucking cuffs and in a padded room.
More than anything, focus on Michelle going to prison.
Yes.
It's not just like, wow, this is really scary. Can you help us? Wow, you know what I should do? Call my buddies at the U.S. Marshal Service. No, no, no.
Right.
He wants these local cops to arrest Michelle immediately with no evidence. That's his main point.
So Jason is like, well, we got to talk to Michelle because, like, obviously there's something going on with Jason. She could be a really important witness. And so Michelle is back and she tells us more about her relationship with Ian in the early days.
Yeah.
And she says, guys, remember, she thought like she was living the Disney fairy tale princess fantasy, the New York City in the holidays fantasy. Early on in the relationship, Jason calls Michelle at work and tells her that he has a fantasy of watching her have sex with another man.
First of all, that is not how you respectfully introduce an objectively provocative topic to the person that you love who you know is not into this.
Like,
you don't call them at work and spring this on them.
All I could hear was like the screeching tire sound.
Yeah. And that's what Michelle heard too.
Instantly, this picture of this prince is completely shattered.
And in the moment, she's like, shit, we're not compatible.
She says that after giving him his life savings to buy a condo in Anaheim so he can be close to Disneyland.
Well, see what happened? He roped her into this predatory real estate deal. Her name is on the goddamn mortgage.
Yep.
Where's she going to go?
She's eventually going to say this really heartbreaking thing where she's going to say, like, it felt like I couldn't stay and it felt like I couldn't leave.
Yeah.
She is so roped in emotionally and legally and financially. Like, that's what these people do.
And the thing that Ian is choosing to berate her about is the fact that he wants to watch her have sex with other men. And she could not be clearer, saying she does not want to do this. She's not comfortable.
He would bring it up over and over and over again, multiple times a week. I would say, I don't like this at all. This is making me feel really uncomfortable and I don't want to do it. And I've already told you.
He's bringing it up constantly. She's crying.
Yep.
It is a very big source of anxiety and sadness and
yes.
fear for her. And her fiance, who should be loving her,
of course,
is not being...
And like when she would get really upset about it, he'd be like, I'm just kidding. I didn't really mean that. It was just talk. And then he started sending her like men's profiles from Craigslist as like potential candidates.
And so then she's like being gaslit into thinking that it's normal that he's aggressively pressuring her to have sex that she doesn't want to have. That's called rape.
Right. This is where she's telling us how naive she was. She hadn't dated a lot of people. And this is where in her mind, she has the heartbreaking realization that's not true, but to her, she thinks it is, that this is must just be what women have to do to be in successful relationships.
And she says, if I do it once, will you never mention this to me ever again? She concedes and is broken down by his abuse. She thinks if I do it once, he'll shut up about it and the fantasy will be done and then we don't have to, and it's not going to be this thing hanging over me anymore. And it's something we can maybe work past and it'll bring us closer.
To state the most obvious thing in the world, what, and I know the answer is just people being fucking sick. But what is enjoyable about watching somebody have sex when they don't want to?
Control.
Yeah. That is, as many years as we've been doing this, that is one of my major questions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Control and suffering and being able to have the power. That's really
and
all it is.
That being hot to
That's
somebody.
That's what rape is, really. Rape is, they say it all the time. It's less about the sex and way more about the power.
It's so fucked.
You know? And we'll get into some more things about this. But did you happen to hear when this happened?
Oh, Valentine's
Day. Valentine's Day. And she says February 14th.
Yes. And Jason skips right over it in the interview.
Yeah.
Yeah, that really stuck out to me. Like, this is what... Remember, look, Disney princess, New York at the holidays, Valentine's Day is a very important holiday to people.
And she doesn't have savings anymore. And she's tied and she's on the hook for this mortgage. And so Michelle says they end up getting engaged. And she was like, look, I'm in this awful real estate deal. I just did this thing. Now, like, it's kind of like a trauma bond
yeah.
because she's in here and she's hoping that, like, I did the ultimate thing. I was raped for him.
Yeah.
And maybe he'll love me now.
And she says, as soon as the engagement goes through, this is when everything changes.
It starts off with smaller things. Like, he wants me to get fake nails. Then he wants me to get a belly button piercing because he thinks it would be hot. He starts asking me to dress in certain ways, so he'll pick out outfits for me and tell me when he wants me to wear them.
He wants her to dress for her when he tells her to.
Just for him.
Just for him.
Now, I'm no expert.
Yeah.
But it sounds...
Something tells me this isn't true.
It sounds to me like Ian hates himself because he either wants to have sex with men.
Yeah.
Or wants to experiment with cross-dressing or having the experience of a woman in some way. And I don't know, but there's a lot going on here. Yes, he's an abusive piece of shit, but for him to be cruising Craigslist
yes.
for men yep. for her and then like sort of dressing her up in this way, I don't think Ian is being sexually honest with himself.
Yep. I mean, that thought definitely crossed my mind too.
And I think there's definitely some repressed evil thing that's coming out of him, and he's torturing Michelle for it because he just can't be honest with who he is and what he's actually interested in.
And he picked a woman who he knew he could get to do these things.
Yeah. He also has a tracker on her car because that train's never late.
Oh my God. And like, that's what she's saying. She's like, Michelle, this is where she's not only broken down, like, emotionally, mentally, she's starting to break down. She's like, I couldn't go anywhere. Like, I would go to work, to school, to home, work, to school, to home. And if I deviated from that pattern, he'd be calling me every 5 seconds. He knew. She's like, I felt like he was everywhere. I felt like he could always see me. He always knew where I was.
He had cameras installed in the house.
Yeah.
Not for security. To be watching her.
Yes. And she says, the condo started out as a dream and it became a cage.
You know, I also want to say, and don't come for me for this either, because I got to say it, we need regular psych evals with law enforcement.
Sure.
Not just when something happens. There's like a very clear connection between domestic violence and
members of law enforcement. I mean, to protect their own mental health and their own well-being as well. You know, it's not just about serving the public. But, like, yes.
You know, like personality traits, a lot, the statistics show that personality traits who are drawn to jobs in law enforcement, not all of them, but the numbers don't lie. We need regular psych evals. We just do. That's not really a hot take. It's a high stress job and you're carrying a weapon.
And also, you can start out like psychologically sound and over the course of your career and seeing, I don't know how these people go and see dead bodies every day. No. I don't know how these people go and listen to victim statements every single day and that doesn't impact them somehow.
Right. And it's hard to prosecute domestic violence anyway.
Yes.
But when it's a member of law enforcement, they're protected. There's a very clear connection here that people need to talk about.
And Michelle is going to say eventually, because Jason's going to ask her, when he was doing all of these horrible things to you, why didn't you report it? And she says,
well, I did a lot of research online about abusive relationships with cops, and I'll be honest, I thought they might try to protect him.
And I was afraid that if I did, his brothers would protect him. And that's a very real, true fear.
And she's absolutely right.
Yeah.
Until DOJ Jason came along. But and we'll get into more of the things that she tried to do in the after party, because she definitely did not sit here silently.
Yeah. I mean, we get all of these stories about him, like, getting in the car and getting mad at her and going 100 miles an hour, trying to throw her out, then not letting her leave.
The abusive
taking
playbook.
The ring off her finger, saying, you don't get this back until you learn how to behave yourself.
Yeah. Also, all of this that's happening with Angela and the threats, that's Michelle's condo.
Yes.
The condo where all of this is taking place.
I mean, and do we know that for sure? Like, do we?
Yes.
We know
it's
that it was
the condo.
Is it in her name?
She's on the papers.
Okay.
It's her mortgage. Like,
did he get her to give him the money and then put it in his name?
Either way, it's bad.
Yeah, either way, it's bad
for her.
Yeah.
Because then she has no rights. Or if she does have rights, then she's on the hook for all of it. And he's going to, like, try to pay the mortgage when he can. No.
Yeah.
Don't do this.
No. So Michelle finally says she knew she had to leave. And she found her opportunity because Leslie, BFF Leslie, was there one day.
Uh-huh. Sure, and she was.
Of course she was. But this is great news for Michelle because Michelle knows that Ian's not going to do anything violent to her with Leslie there.
He's got a mask for the gods in front of BFF Leslie.
Mask for the gods. So she gets in her car. She takes off. She goes to her parents' house. 1 minute of relief and the text message start.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, he's definitely, maybe he'll just let me go. No, no, no. And she says he had no intention of it. And remember, now Michelle is, you need to get out of there. And now she feels terrified that she's out of there because he is a U.S. Marshal. He does carry a gun.
I mean, that really, like, when you think about, like, Don't Date Brandon, the one thing these women had going for them was that Brandon was not a member of law enforcement. Like, imagine having that extra strike against you that, like, you can't even, you feel like you can't even go report this because you won't get help because the man will be protected.
You know, if you have a misdemeanor domestic violence charge, and you can look this up, you can't carry a firearm anymore.
Oh, wow.
So a lot of people in law enforcement are protected because if you can't carry a firearm, you're not a cop anymore.
Oh, my God.
So the statistics are such that, one, it's very hard to get the actual true numbers, but the numbers we have are bad enough.
Yeah.
But they're protected or downplayed or not reported because one misdemeanor domestic violence charge against you means you can't be a cop anymore.
Wow.
So there are, Michelle's absolutely right.
Yeah.
Because he's not just like a local cop, he's a U.S.
Marshal. No, he's a U.S. Marshal.
So
things are escalating.
Michelle is spiraling.
Yes. Michelle learned that her parents are getting notifications that they're getting background checks done on them. She says,
I have never felt fear like that before. Like I was a hunted animal. I think Ian's fucking crazy at this point. I think he's a psychopath. The next step for him is to try and come and kill me.
She can't see him. She's paranoid. She's hearing things. She's seeing things. She is having a complete mental breakdown, and I don't understand how she couldn't.
No, and she tells the story about, like, one day she can't take it, and she leaves all of her devices, anything that she thinks that he could possibly be tracking.
I mean,
she gets into the car and just starts driving, and 24 hours later, she comes to in the home of some Native American family.
That, in Arizona.
In Arizona, that she'd been wandering somewhere. She has no memory of any of this. Mm-hmm. This Native American family took her in, brings her to the hospital. She's completely lost 24 hours. And the doctor tells her it sounds like a dissociative episode and that she's got complex PTSD from all that she's been going through with Jason. That is the level of terror. That is the level of wearing down that he has done to her.
Yeah. I've told you this. My only experience with that is when I was like going through something and I wouldn't remember walking Fiona in the morning. I would come back when we were walking into the house and I was wiping her paws.
Wow.
It was like that. That is a very distinct example of feeling that way. I can't imagine being across state lines.
Yeah.
Waking up to people that.
No.
You don't
all
know.
Of a sudden,
thank
just
God
coming
are being
to.
So nice.
Yes.
And thankfully the doctor is like, oh, I know exactly what this is, girl. I'm so sorry this is happening to you, but like, it's very clear. And this is where we learn. Remember earlier, Michelle was like, yeah, those emails might've sounded crazy, but yes, I did write them.
Yes.
In this state, in this episode, this complete psychological breakdown, which Michelle admits, she goes, I went crazy.
Yep.
That's when she wrote those unhinged emails.
Right. And but those are the only two emails she wrote.
Two.
Remember, we hear her earlier admitting to writing these emails, and we think that means she wrote all of them.
So she's admitting that, and she's like, I don't know who Lilith is, but I know those emails look crazy. Hear me out.
Yeah.
So the context of when and how she wrote these, we still don't have the why. I'll tell you the why later.
Well, the whole thing is that Jason, who's now interviewing Michelle, because he's going to get Ian.
D.O. Jason.
He knows that her testimony is important because he's making the connections now. So he's saying that Ian got these emails from Michelle. It enraged him because he wants to control Michelle. Who the hell does she think she is?
Who's getting away.
This is when he decides he's got to ruin her life.
We realize the two religious emails that she sent Ian are important because we suspect that Ian seizes on those to create the Lilith account and to create this other religious language. He mimics her when he writes these.
And he's now going to use that against her. So he can say, see, those emails are real. She absolutely sent those. She had to have sent all of these too.
Right, exactly. And so Jason has gotten the case file for all of the things that happened to Ian and Angela. So he's going through them all. And he's going back to the night that like Angela was being threatened to be raped. Mm-hmm. And I had to watch this part a little bit. He's making the connections, showing us how Ian set up the rape through Craigslist, gets Angela to call the police and say, I'm being threatened that someone is coming here to rape me. Michelle is doing it. While Angela is on the phone with the cops, Ian is on the computer with Rick being like, get your ass over here to rape her, pretending to be Michelle. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit confusing, this part of the documentary, but Jason makes all of the connections to prove it was 100% Ian who was in contact with Rick, pretending to be Michelle, getting...
pretending to be Angela.
That's the whole thing. Yeah. At one point, Jason breaks it down for us. Wait, what did he say? This is Ian pretending to be Michelle, pretending to be Angela, catfishing somebody to come to the condo.
Now, sure. Okay? And D.O. Jason believes Michelle. He's on the right side of history. He's doing good work here. But at one point, he's like, was Angela just a passenger? And I'm like, no. We're not doing this.
Yeah.
We are not going to act like Ian is an abusive asshole 100%. Yeah. But we're not going to act like Angela had no agency here.
No. And we don't have to do it again. But my only question is, how much was she coerced? How much did she know? How much was she manipulating Ian? And how much were they in cahoots together?
Well, she knew enough to lie about the fake rape attempt because that never happened.
Right.
No one came to the house.
And to be the voice verification for Rick, who was like, I'm not coming until the woman tells me to come.
And
so she was definitely involved in that.
And probably set up like a safe word with Rick because Rick wouldn't have shown up. It's not about the violence.
Yeah.
They could have found a real fucking rapist to come over on the internet. They chose Rick, who's very like, I want ground rules. This is not about the violence or pain.
Yeah.
This is dom sub stuff. So she was like lying to Rick saying, oh, totally. She was in on it.
No, no question. My only question is, was she manipulating Ian by faking the pregnancy? But then you make the good point that they needed the pregnancy to escalate the urgency, but we'll just never
know. We'll
never know. And that's the maddeningly brilliant thing about this documentary.
And Dio Jason says, sorry, girl, that name is sticking. we'll say eventually, but I'll say it now.
Angela Connell wasn't a perfect partner because she craved empathy. Angela loved portraying herself as a victim. And Ian exploited that.
Angela loved being the victim all your life. And Ian loved to be in control. So everybody wins. Everyone's getting what they
need. And Jason, to get the guy, to get Ian, he's got to prove that Ian manipulated his authority as a U.S. Marshal against the local cops.
To me, like, that's the easiest part.
And then, you know, like, it's like 15 more minutes of this, but what he essentially says is that he starts writing these threatening emails pretending to be Michelle. That doesn't do it. So he orchestrates a rape attempt. That doesn't do it. And then he has to orchestrate the actual attack on Angela, and that's the thing that actually gets them to go arrest Michelle.
Right, and Ian's grubby little fingerprints are all over the digital forensics.
Because he tried to cover his tracks, Jason says, but they go into his work devices, his actual federally issued like laptop, and they find the traces of where he created the Lilith account.
Yeah.
So they are able to trace all of the emails and everything back to Ian.
His fucking government issued work computer.
Yep.
And he's also doing that thing where he has so many accounts that he can't keep track. So he's like responding as himself to Michelle or Lilith or whatever. And then at one point, even Dio Jason is like, can I just say that, because Ian's like, oh, you know, as soon as like the rapist was coming, they got a heads up that he was coming.
Right.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, so I let the door open and basically just sent Angela out there. And he wanted to have his Chris Hansen moment. Ian. He's like, I was just going to have the guy come in and be like, why don't you have a seat?
Yep. And that's the moment where he's holding the gun and the badge. So when the cops show up, he can throw them on the table and be like, sorry, I'm a U.S. Marshal.
And they're like, oh my God, if a U.S. Marshal is saying this, it must be super serial. And I'm like, you guys, he's not Raylan Givens. Calm down. Can I tell you about this? I know this is a 2-hour episode. Can I tell you about this really funny moment in Justified?
Yeah.
Everything I know about the U.S. Marshals, I know from the show Justified. Which is like not much, but it's enough.
Yeah.
And so someone is impersonating Raylan Givens, who's just a dreamboat. Very
That's
handsome.
Timothy Oliphant?
Yeah. Just a dreamboat. Like everyone, he's like, it's almost a joke within the show that he's like too cool and too good looking.
He's so hot.
So someone is impersonating him, does not look anything like him. And so
Patrick Hines is impersonating him.
Yeah, right. Like, no, it's Dewey Crow. But anyway,
you agreed a little too quickly.
So when the woman is like, oh, like I met this U.S. Marshal named Raylan and he was doing all this shady stuff, blah, blah, blah. Raylan shows up to the scene and the other cops are like, is that the guy you saw in the house? And she looks at him and she goes, God, no. So like, he's not Raylan Givens.
No.
But they're like, oh, my God, they are totally falling for all of this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and like the local cops can only, like we see these documentaries, like this is just one of all the cases they've got to deal with. Eventually, I think they agree to go get Michelle just to shut these fucking people up.
To blindly believe him just because he's law enforcement is a major part of the problem.
But I don't think they did. In fairness, I think it took them a long time to get to a point. Like we were screaming this whole episode about how they didn't believe him.
But he did the same thing. But I don't think that's true. I think that they were... I think it's a combination of it's not enough to do anything, which we know firsthand is true.
Yeah.
And also them just saying, because Ian is doing the same thing that all of these people do, that Angela did with original Jason, that Ian did with Michelle. Everything is happening so fast. This happened over like 2 weeks.
Yep.
So everything is happening so fast. And then suddenly when the cops forced Ian to force their hand because no one went to the fucking computer and traced an IP address.
That is true. I'm also thinking, imagine if this pregnant woman, pregnant with twins, actually did get raped or killed. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like on like with all of the advance warning that these officers have. I'm not defending the cops. I'm just saying that like I'm agreeing with what you're saying, which is chaos was created on purpose and people fell for it.
And also like they're just like, oh, okay, this is definitely Michelle. They're speaking as if that's a fact.
They're
saying, well, we can't do anything until she blah blah blah. How do you know she did it?
I know.
What are you saying to
me? I just wonder if there's anything more to that. I don't know. It seems weird that nobody went and had a conversation with her. And I guess we don't know that they didn't.
We'll talk about it.
Okay, okay.
But I just don't understand how they just believe Ian, this fellow law enforcement person. Like, that's part of why, like, the word systemic, when we say that,
yeah.
That's what we mean. You can't just be like, oh, you're law enforcement too. I'm going to blindly believe you. That's wrong.
No, I agree. So May 12, 2021, Ian is arrested, pleads not guilty, but he's found guilty on all counts. He's dismissed by the U.S. Marshal Service in 2023. He was convicted of stalking, perjury, obstruction of justice. And it says he's serving a 10-year federal prison sentence in Texas.
You know, Michelle was could face up to life.
Yeah.
For what she did. And and Angela got 5 years and he got 10. I just think that's interesting.
I agree.
So BFF Leslie is here to wrap it all up and defend him. And I quote,
"There is no evidence that anyone could show me that would make me doubt Ian's innocence. Because I see that Angela is a serial imposter and she pled guilty to charges, and an innocent person does not plead guilty."
It's unbelievable.
He's using you, you idiot.
I know.
He's never going to love you.
I know.
He's never going to love you. He sure does love that you're falling for his bullshit and being his mouthpiece. And Leslie, was it or was it not you? The first line of this thing, "I wish everyone would just tell the truth about what happened." Was that you, girl?
I know. She also says, she's like, there's evidence that Angela was a serial imposter and she pled guilty to charges and innocent people do not plead guilty.
Get her away from a jury.
But it is also true that, like, even before all of this, the cancer stuff, like, Angela's insane. Like, Angela is a danger to society.
Match made in hell, I'm telling
you. For sure.
And Jason, DOJ Jason is like, oh, BFF Leslie, she's totally in love with them.
100%.
And then Leslie comes with the attitude.
Yep.
"I love him with all my heart. Ian is my family. I will love him forever. I am not in love with Ian."
Oh, Leslie.
And it reminded me of
the lady doth protest too much.
It reminded me of Michael Scott, where he's like, "Do I need to be liked? Absolutely not. Like, do I like to be liked? Do I enjoy being liked? Do I need to be liked?" But it's not this compulsive need, like my need to be praised. And I'm like, Angela, BF, it's for her to say, there's nothing that anyone will tell me. Sorry, I was just spitting.
No, it's okay. It's one of the, it's a rageful episode. It's 200 degrees in here. I'm super hot. You know, in the end, Jason is saying, like, why did Ian do all this? And he says, because Michelle, we know this. We've experienced this.
Yeah.
You can't leave the narcissist. If you leave the narcissist, they have to destroy you.
And, like, why didn't Angela rat out Ian? Probably because she's a serial liar and she wouldn't have any credibility. Why did Ian go to the cops and flip on Angela when that's what caught them?
Right.
Even though DOJ Jason probably would have been in on this to exonerate Michelle anyway. But, like, why did he speed up that process by going to rat out Angela?
Ugh.
I have a lot of theories. You'll hear them all in the
afterlife. Okay. And, like, in the end, you know, Michelle's doing great. She's rebuilding her life.
You know, I'm getting back into school. I'm going back to work. And I start dating again. Eventually, I find out I'm pregnant. I gave birth to my daughter on the same day Ian was convicted.
She gave birth to her daughter on the day that Jason got convicted.
And she's like, you know what? I will take that Lilith name.
Yes.
How interesting that they picked a woman who just, like, wouldn't bow down to the fucking patriarchy and took down the man. She's like, you know what? It fits. I'll
and
take
also,
it.
She successfully sued the Anaheim Police Department and was awarded, quote, significant damages in 2021. I would love a number.
About $2 million. 1.9.
Good. For 80 days in prison for a crime you didn't commit?
That they didn't even try to investigate?
Yeah.
We'll get in. There's a lot more of what they knew and when they knew it.
Oh.
The after party's going to be juicy. Just saying.
Girl, we did a toxic love story. As GP was just saying, the after party giving all the details that she can find is available right now at the after party tier on Patreon. We're just gonna let you get out of here because it was a long one. What are we doing next?
The Cult of the Soulful Journey on HBO Max, ID and Discovery. This is not a child abuse cult.
Oh,
this is not a sex cult.
So refreshing.
This is just like a crazy bitch and the people that believed her.
Okay.
And there's a video game involved. And it's just this insane crazy bitch. Oh, there's a little sex stuff. It's another repressed gay person who, like, doesn't want to admit their sexuality and who hates themselves.
Oh,
but there's also a video game.
Just come out of the closet. It's so easy.
It's so easy. It's really nice.
I mean, not everywhere.
You know what we're saying. You can. You don't have to join the cult. You don't have to start a cult. You don't have to fake cancer.
No, no.
You don't have to rape your loved ones. Yep. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. You're making a lot of sense today,
God,
GP.
I feel crazy.
We love you.
Love you.
Bye.
Solaire's mystical belief system teaches that her followers can become their higher self and live on a different plane of cosmic reality known as the 99.
This thing's a cult.
Solar Alloray formed Soulful Journey.
It seems so innocent.
She was a hugger. She seemed like a mother figure.
When in reality, it's so much darker than that.
I truly thought I was being rescued, but she had all the power.
They were fed by Solaire. They slept in her homes.
She's a master manipulator.
Solaire considered herself a psychic healer.
By channeling a being named G, it was like I was physically hit.
Everything wrong in your life is the human, and we have to reject the human. It's programming at a high price.
Bye, Leslie.
That was unhinged.